We're going to start this morning, though, and talk about Ireland's electricity grid crisis. Reports at the weekend of cabinet fury as ministers found out the extent of our unpreparedness for what's coming this winter. 25% increase on businesses, a 10% increase on household electricity between the hours of 5 and 7, and concerns then about what will happen if supply is disrupted and whether or not there will be blackouts or not in relation to what's happening. The preparedness, the storage problems that we have, or the lack of storage we have for gas, the need to develop gas-fired power stations in order to get us over the hump of the next few years. Perhaps they won't be built now because of the costs and the skyrocketing cost of gas and equipment for those sorts of developments. And the open question then of data centres and how much energy they use. That's all swirling around in the mix. The former head of the ESB is saying nobody in government should be surprised by this, that successive governments sat around over the last number of years and hoped this problem would go away instead of taking the dramatic action that was needed to prevent us from being in the situation that we're in at the moment. If you have a view on it, get in touch with me in studio here in Tralee to talk about this. This is Sinn Féin Deputy Pat Daly. Deputy Daly, good morning to you.
Good morning, Gerry.
Can I ask you, first of all, were you surprised that you're hearing that the Cabinet are surprised or angry or furious at what's being revealed in terms of our energy preparedness?
Well, no, I'd agree with the former head of the ESB that nobody should be surprised about this. And it's true in your intro, I've been hearing from particularly small businesses, smaller shops. One shop owner in North Kerry told me recently that his energy bills, he anticipates when he comes off a rate that he has been on, will increase from around 3,000 per month to potentially 12,000 per month, which could put him out of business, and his staff of about 20 people, with their jobs, could be in danger. So as the ESB, the former ESB man said, nobody should be surprised. Their air grid have been issuing amber alerts now for a number of years. So I don't think it's credible for the government to suggest that they've been blindsided by the worsening crisis. There has been a failure to plan. And recently, just this week, our spokesperson on climate action, Darren O'Rourke, has written to the chair of the Climate Committee asking for an urgent meeting to take place, to convene a meeting in order to address the concerns about the prospect of electricity blackouts. We don't want people to be cold and in the dark this winter, and also to deal, as you said, Gerry, with the energy costs and the runaway energy costs, which are probably the biggest contributor to the rise of the cost of living crisis that we've been going through for the last number of months. Darren O'Rourke, he has asked that the Commission for Regulation of Utilities, for Air Grid, and the Minister to all come in before the committee as soon as possible, before the Dáil comes back, in order to give an explanation on what plans are in place. Because, as was said, the government could not possibly have been blindsided. They could not have underestimated the amber alerts have been going on. I think there was one at the beginning of this month, and if we're in trouble in August, and especially with the weather that we've been having, then can you imagine what it's going to be like when the winter comes around? So we need to have a meeting. People are very, very concerned about it. It has come, you know, much quicker and much further up the agenda in recent months and weeks, all right. But the government have left us in this precarious situation. There has been massive promotion of data centres, etc. But we need a plan in place, and the Climate Committee needs to come in, needs to meet and outline what is the plan, what are they going to do about securing energy supply and securing electricity generation. And we also need to know what are the big users of electricity, what are they going to do, what are their plans in order to
help the national cause, shall we say,
in the cold.
Would it be helpful if the government, and it's been a long time coming, to publish its own energy security report? The department commissioned its own report on energy security some years ago, still not published, partly because it's a political hot potato.
Yes, of course it would, but there is a climate oversight committee which have met, I think they only met once last year, and I'm not sure whether they've met this year at all. It shows the level of interest that the government have in it, that their own committee hasn't been meeting, you know, in enough times. So, yes, I agree with you in relation to that. People are worried now about being left in the cold, left in the dark. And the answer is not to increase costs on small businesses residential consumers also, because we don't want people, you know, out of work, and people are beginning to get very, very worried about this.
Okay, when it comes to what might happen, there's a report this morning from the ESRI, almost 70% of households will be plunged into energy poverty in worst case scenarios, drawn up for the state's energy crisis oversight group. Presentation delivered in June to the energy supply emergency group shows if recent price increases in energy were to be repeated, then, you know, 70% of households would be spending more than 10% income on energy. However, the ESRI drafted private analysis showing the impact of even higher increases, but that's worst case scenarios. Are ye in the opposition? Are ye scaremongering here? Are you saying this is going to happen? The sky is going to fall in? It may not be as bad as all that. And isn't it the job for the ESRI and the ESRI and others to plan for the worst case scenario, which may not happen?
Well, look, the ESRI have to do their job. They produce regular reports, and particularly in relation to your housing, they've had some very, very good contributions in relation to that, advocating that an extra 2 billion should be spent on housing, which is exactly what Sinn Féin had been saying earlier on this year. I did remember the Taoiseach's comments earlier on this week that we need an earlier warning system in relation to demand. Like, that's ridiculous, because the Amber Alerts have been going on for months. They have been published. So it's incredible that the government seem to be continuing to have uncontrolled growth of data centres, that the 70 data centres in Ireland, remember, use the same amount of electricity as all the homes in rural Ireland combined.
But there's a reason for those data centres. If you don't have them, it affects all sorts of industry and business and commerce, or high-tech sector would be hobbled. So
I agree. I accept that they support other industry, but the common good has to come into play here, and it's not acceptable to continue. There was one announced for Ennis recently. You know, there must be, and we have, Sinn Féin has called for a moratorium on the connection of new data centres until we have an energy security impact risk analysis. You know, the new one in Ennis, which is announced, will use as much electricity as 200,000 homes. So politics is a balancing act, and but I'm afraid that the common good will have to trump any new data centres which are being proposed. So it's incredible that the government continue to push this line when there's a threat of blackouts and people being cold in the winter.
Yeah, well, what happens from here is, what can we do about this winter? In terms of any sort of infrastructure, it's pretty late in the day to be planning. There was talks of emergency generation plans to be put into focus. We don't know how quickly or if they will happen now in time to stave off the worst of what would happen. But it seems with the passing days and looking what countries like Germany are doing, they're racing at a speed of knots to develop liquefied natural gas infrastructure. We've one project here, which, again, won't be through planning, won't be built in any time to start us off for this winter, but it seems between gas storage and also a need to get alternative sources that we will need this sort of infrastructure. Would you support that? Would you do that if you were in government to reflect the current crisis?
Well,
aside from your position on it in general, which is anti it.
Yeah, well, all the more reason for a plan and for the Climate Committee to be to be convened as soon as possible. The plan, you know, a plan should, as I said, outline what large energy consumers are going to do. But while, you know, look, North Kerry, the Shannon Land Bank, that's been a political football for 50 years.
Yeah.
I know people who returned from America in the 70s thinking that there's going to be an acceleration of jobs. Let's be clear about this. You know, well, Sinn Féin is a party, and I am anti-fracked gas.
But in the context, and they're saying no fracked gas, in the context of where we are now and the change situation with the war in Ukraine, the crisis that we're heading into now, all of those concerns there for our security, are parties like Sinn Féin going to have to change their position, if even temporarily, to reflect the new reality? Germany, as I said, gone completely. They're developing five of them. They're speeding up planning in order to develop them at a rate of knots. They're in so much trouble. We're also in trouble here in terms of what you've been saying and what the former head of DSB has been telling us, and the concerns at cabinet level. So will will the beliefs that were held up to 6 months ago before the war started have to be put back, or put in abeyance for a while to reflect the new reality that we will need some infrastructure, we will need some fossil fuels to get us over the next short term.
As I said in relation to another point, all will have to be taken into context of what is the common good. Obviously, we don't want people who are going to be in the cold and in the dark. But at the same time, there has to be medium term and more long term planning in relation to accelerating the delivery of offshore wind. I think we only have one in the whole country off the coast of Wexford.
Yes.
And the sectoral stakeholders, which Darren O'Rourke has met with on a number of occasions, that what they all point to is the challenges and delays, planning, regulations.
Planning system is way too long.
Grid capacity, skills, capacity, supply. So let's have long-term planning on it. Let's see what needs to be addressed, deal with the difficulties that are going to be in supply chain and the ports and all of that. But our priority should be in wind and in offshore wind in particular.
If Sinn Féin were in power, though, if you were in charge of sorting out this, if we went through a winter where we were having blackouts, would you be open to looking at a situation whereby, well, to get us over the hump, we're going to have to look, and temporarily at least, at developing fossil fuel infrastructure?
Well, that is not that would not be our priority. Obviously, everything would be looked at in the context of what is
how bad the crisis is.
How bad the crisis is, exactly. But the current, let's deal with now the current time frame from proposing to electricity generation, particularly for offshore wind, is too long. Let's start planning for that now to ensure that we won't have this problem down the line.
Okay, final quick question on a separate issue. Is the Minister for State at the Department of Enterprise, Minister for Company Regulation, Robert Troy, is his position tenable, do you think, following the revelations of the last 10, 12 days?
Well, the difficulty for Robert Troy, I suppose, is that this issue doesn't seem to be going away. I'm not at this stage calling for him to resign or anything like that, but he needs to, you know, have a full explanation about all his obligations under the, you know, with all these properties that he has, and
he's tried that twice now, and still more questions.
Yeah, it's a difficulty for him. He needs to come out and show, you know, is he complying with all of the.
The planning, the Residential Tenancies Board.
Is he registered? Well, all of that. Let's see what happens with it. It's a developing situation. You know, I haven't said it's been top of my priority list at the moment over the last few days. But I'm not calling for him to resign, but it's a difficulty for him the longer the process goes on. I was away recently and I found an old newspaper which said that it was a good week for Catherine Zappone at the end of July. And these August type stories that just go on and on tend to cause problems.
Sure.
For holders. But before I go, can I just congratulate the Rachel Duffy, the new Rose Tralee, and everyone involved with the Festival of Kerry. I think it was it was back to the days of the 80s. Huge crowds on the street. They were blessed with the weather, blessed with the crowds, and there's a real good feel-good factor around the town and around the county as a result of it.
There certainly was.
The businesses seem to be very happy with it also.
Indeed. Just going finally back to our initial issue in relation to it, there's been a suggestion this morning reported on that one of the leading renewable energy developers is suggesting that in order to get through next winter, we need to develop, and Ireland needs to develop, a NEFIT-type structure to steer Ireland through it in terms of ensuring the country powers down at peak demand times and reduce the risk of blackouts. Would you support that?
Well, look, the Climate Oversight Committee, as I said, hasn't been meeting. We have been calling for the committee to reconvene as soon as possible. I think that those are the structures that are in place and we should deal with them rather than creating any new structures.
Okay. All right. Deputy Paddy, Sinn Féin, thanks for talking to us in the programme about that.